17. Mr. Briggs?
This item is the same subject matter, but for Coralitos and South Sapotes Creeks. And presenting, we have both Chris and Lisa still at the table there to assist, but presenting the item is Pete's colleague from Chris's unit, Kim Sanders of our staff.
We're going to have to pause for just a moment here. Technical difficulty. We had to change the computer because it wasn't being projected, and the presentation is on the old computer, so we have to download it onto this computer. So we just need a few moments.
Okay. Why don't we take a 10-minute break then? Okay, folks, we're going to begin agenda item number 17. And hopefully by the time staff is ready, our board's attorney will be here.
Actually heard this presentation already.
He has, okay.
I think we can get started.
What's that?
I think we can get started.
Okay. Mr. Briggs, why don't we start this agenda item?
Okay, again, as I said, we're on item 17, total maximum daily loads for fecal coliform and Coralitos and South Sapotes Creeks. I will remind you again that we have a supplemental sheet with some underlying crossout for this item. And presenting this item is our staff person who prepared it, Kim Sanders.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Roger. Good morning, or maybe it's good morning, Chairman and members of the board. Kim Sanders, Watershed Assessment Unit. I'm presenting total maximum daily loads and an implementation plan for fecal coliform in Coralitos and South Sapotes Creeks in southern Santa Cruz County. And the background image here is South Sapotes Creek just north of Riverside Drive Bridge in the city of Watsonville. We're proposing adoption of two basin plan amendments, including the total maximum daily loads and an implementation plan for fecal coliform in Coralitos and South Sapotes Creeks, and extending the two prohibitions adopted in the last agenda item. So those are the domestic animal waste discharge prohibition and the human fecal material discharge prohibition to encompass the Coralitos and South Sapotes Creeks watershed. Also, please be aware that there's a supplemental sheet describing changes to these basin plan amendments. The Coralitos and South Sapotes Creeks watershed is this gray area, and you can see it within the greater context of the Pajaro River watershed, this black line. And also for reference, here is Monterey Bay. This is a closer view of the water bodies within the watershed, and in particular, in red, the impaired reaches. The total maximum daily loads are proposed for South Sapotes Creek and for Coralitos Creek from Browns Valley Bridge to the confluence with South Sapotes Creek. For reference, here's Pajaro River, South Sapotes Creek confluences with Pajaro River. And for reference, this is the city of Watsonville. And the remainder of the land is under the jurisdiction of Santa Cruz County. I took this image of a sleeping pad and some trash underneath Riverside Drive Bridge in the city of Watsonville, adjacent to South Sapotes Creek. We concluded that the sources of impairment in the watershed were stormwater, homeless persons and encampments, the sanitary sewer, private laterals, pets, farm animals and livestock, on-site wastewater systems, and natural sources.
I'm assuming this is not in any order, right?
That is not in any order, correct.
Okay, thanks.
We develop total maximum daily loads for Corralitos and Salsapuedes Creek that are equal to the basin plan water quality objective for fecal coliform that protects the water contact recreation beneficial use. And that basin plan water quality objective is fecal coliform concentration based on a minimum of not less than 5 samples for any 30-day period shall not exceed a log mean of 200 most probable number per 100 milliliters, nor shall more than 10% of total samples during any 30-day period exceed 400 most probable number per 100 milliliters. This is a close-up of the water in Salsapuedes Creek. We also determined allocations for each responsible party for each source. We gave domestic animal sources an allocation equal to the total maximum daily loads, which is equal to the water quality objective. We gave human sources an allocation of 0, and we gave natural sources an allocation also equal to the total maximum daily loads, and again, equal to the water quality objective. I want to point out that the parties responsible for the allocations to controllable sources are not responsible for the allocations to natural sources. This image is from Corralitos Creek, north of Airport Boulevard, and these trees over here denote the top of bank, and there's also some horses in the background. We developed an implementation plan for achieving the allocations based on regulatory mechanisms. We're proposing to add this watershed to the two prohibitions that were adopted in the previous agenda item. So once again, the domestic animal waste discharge prohibition and the human fecal material discharge prohibition. We're proposing to use the prohibitions to address loading from domestic animals, such as these goats, homeless persons in encampments, on-site wastewater systems, and private laterals. And we'll use existing permits to address sources such as the sewer and stormwater. This is Salsapuedes Creek, a Riverside Drive bridge. Summarized, here are the implementation requirements for human sources. Sewer leaks and spills, we plan to address those with a waste discharge requirement. We plan to address private laterals, homeless persons in encampments, and on-site wastewater systems with the human fecal material discharge prohibition. And I want to stop here and make sure I'm clear that we don't mean to imply that adding this watershed to the human fecal material discharge prohibition is going to solve the homeless problem in general, but rather we aim to omit loading from homeless encampments. Implementation for the remaining sources include addressing stormwater through a national pollutant discharge elimination system permit, and we plan to address pets, farm animals, and livestock, or domestic animals, with the domestic animal waste discharge prohibition. The parties responsible for implementation are the municipal sanitation districts, private and public landowners, including the City of Watsonville and the County of Santa Cruz. Staff received approximately 40 comments from two parties, the County of Santa Cruz and the City of Watsonville. We also received additional comments from both parties regarding our responses. The comments and staff responses are in Attachment 6 to your staff report and within the supplemental sheet that we've prepared. I'm going to sum up the main issues here, but we're relying on those two pieces of information to support the recommendation that we've made here. The city emphasized that there are wildlife in both urban and agricultural land uses, and that wildlife may or may not be controllable. We agree that wildlife are in both urban and agricultural areas. And more importantly, we have not called out agricultural land use as a source of the impairment in this TMDL. Whereas we have called out urban land use as a source or stormwater as a source of the impairment, and therefore we're asking the city to achieve the allocation for stormwater, and the extent to which they want to focus on wildlife to achieve the allocation is up to them. The city also questioned our political awareness with regard to controlling discharges from homeless and homeless encampments, and they wanted some language regarding strategies that we gave them addressing loading from homeless. They wanted that language removed from the response to comments document. So we agreed to remove this language because we don't claim to know the intricacies of managing homeless, and are not required to tell the city how to address loading from homeless sources. And I also want to point out that we want to work cooperatively with the municipalities to develop solutions as they and private property owners implement the human fecal material discharge prohibition. The county wanted us to explicitly indicate that one option for compliance with the human fecal material discharge prohibition in terms of on-site wastewater systems was through the county's wastewater management plan as they apply it countywide. And we had indicated in the resolution that it was possible to comply using the county as an agent. However, we clarified that language to make it clear that responsible parties can use the wastewater management plan as a form of compliance. They also questioned the reality of reducing human fecal contamination to zero because we gave human sources an allocation of zero. And we agree this presents a challenge. And as Chris Rose, my supervisor, talked about in the last item, the Office of Chief Counsel asked us to withdraw some TMDLs because they had allocations to human sources that were greater than zero. And we still conclude that it's a reasonable requirement. It's reasonable to require zero loading from human sources because of the risk they present to humans, the risk that human fecal material presents to humans. And also, we think it's reasonable to have a goal of zero so that we can try to achieve that goal. Once again, here are the impaired reaches. Corralitos and Salsipuedes Creeks have exceedances of the water quality objective, and both are impaired. And as you'll note here, again, the Pajaro River is the receiving water body for these creeks, and it is impaired. Or it's the receiving water body for Salsipuedes Creek, rather. We have identified sources of the impairment, and we have written an implementation plan that will improve water quality in Salsipuedes and Corralitos Creeks. And we recommend adoption because improving water quality will protect the beneficial uses of the water bodies. Adoption and implementation of the Basin Plan amendments will also move us closer to our Region 3 vision of healthy functioning watersheds by 2025, which is 16 years from now. So once again, here are the two Basin Plan amendments. We recommend the board adopt the two Basin Plan amendments as we've described them, and with the changes proposed in the supplemental sheet. This concludes my presentation, so I can take questions if you have them.
Any board questions or comments? Okay, thank you. Mr. Briggs, we'll go to our speakers. I have four cards. If any member of the public wishes to address the board on this item, they need to fill out a speaker card and give it to staff. Robert Kettle?
Kettley.
John Ricker, Ray Allen, and Patrick Orozco. In that order. Go ahead.
Chairman Young, members of the board, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to first and foremost thank Kim Sanders for actually being very helpful with this TMDL. I've appreciated her input. We've had a good communication. What I'd actually like to do just right now is a straight face test. The human waste prohibition, as I see it, is a concern when you look at certain activities in the watershed. Corralitos Creek, there are swimming pools where kids historically, hundreds of years probably, at least in my lifetime I know of, swim in this creek. The zero waste prohibition, as it is currently set forth by the state board, says if there's any human waste in that water, it has to be dealt with. Excuse this, but I have to give you this piece of information. Most humans have about 1 gram of fecal material attached to them. If you have kids swimming in a swimming pool, you use chlorine in order to deal with that. We have, in the Clean Water Act, one of the primary missions was to make the creeks swimmable and fishable. This prohibition seems to be in direct contravention, or rather direct conflict with that. It's a catch-22 provision. So I'm hoping that what we'll be able to do through the cooperative work with your staff, and I think you alluded to this, Roger, was do the things where it's appropriate, but not end up where I have a section of the creek which has been used historically by kids for swimming, which cannot be used for kids by swimming because it may have an MPN of 10 or 50 MPN that are actual human fecal coliforms. I've got to say.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Mr. Ricker?
I also want to thank staff for their work on this. They tried to work with us extensively and address or answer our questions, answer our comments. So we've had a good working relationship with staff. I'm going to follow and drill in a little deeper on some of the comments I raised on the last item. And I won't even go anymore with the zero loading. I mean, we talked about that last time, and Robert made an interesting point, and we'll leave it at that. I think the key thing is realistic implementation. We can work with staff on that. With regards to the human fecal material discharge prohibition, that right now is being proposed as a tool to address both laterals and on-site sewage disposal systems. It seems to me that you already have the tools necessary to address laterals and on-site systems. Laterals can be addressed through the permits for the sewage systems and the collection systems. On-site systems are being addressed through other means in your basin plan. We're going to be talking about that method of addressing on-site systems in the next item on your agenda. The other thing that's interesting in looking, and I spent some time last night digging into this stuff and actually reading the parts of the water code, but it seems that the prohibition on human fecal material, essentially there's an exception for discharges that are regulated by WDRs or are regulated through other provisions of Division 7 of the water code, which also includes all the provisions for regulation of on-site systems. So it would seem that discharge prohibition actually exempts anything related to the sewer system or to on-site systems. Again, I think a better tool is our on-site system regulations and our sewage system discharge permits, treatment and discharge permits, and I would urge you to use those existing tools that we're already using to regulate loading from those sorts of discharges. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Allen, Ray Allen.
Thank you, Chairman. I think I said my piece last time, probably out of order, unless you have any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Allen?
No.
Okay, thank you. Patrick Orozco.
My name is Patrick Orozco. I'm tribal chairman of the Pajaro Valley Ohlone Indian Council here in Santa Cruz County. I'm also registered as a MLD with the Native American Heritage Commission in Sacramento. And it's my job or my duty to look out for these rivers. And I grew up here in Watsonville 69 years now, and my ancestors walked these lands before Watsonville was even formed or before the Españoles came here and invaded these lands. My people walked these lands. And the teaching of our ancestors was to take care of the land, you know. And, of course, we didn't have what we have today, all this paper and all this waste that's going to the rivers. My concern is that they keep the waters clean in these rivers, and I'm happy to say that you're taking those steps, you know, to protect those rivers and creeks. At the same time, my job is to, I heard earlier, I got here late when item 16 was being discussed, and I heard you say something about 70-foot buffer zone ground movement. And that brought up another concern because along these rivers, there are Indian cultural sites. And it's against the law to disturb these cultural sites. And that's what my duties are with the Native American Heritage Commission, to look out for these things, you know. And I have worked with the county of Santa Cruz on some of these projects that occurred a while back, you know. And things were handled in the right way, you know. All I can say is my cousin owns 29 acres along the Pajaro River there, the Ferris Ranch, and we keep watch over the river and what's going on. You know, and we see all the encampments along the Corralitos and the Pajaro River and all that, and what's going on, you know, and nothing's being done enough to avoid that, you know. But anyway, thank you for taking concern, and I did email the email on this to get necessary information and for any future meetings. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any board questions? Okay. Last speaker is Alan Perlman.
Although this is a separate item, I'd like to continue from the comments I made on the previous item because I'm not talking about the previous item. What I'm saying is that you're applying these regulations. And this is an example where, in one case, you're applying regulations to a watershed that has a large input by ranches and ranchettes, and even those you've identified as having different profiles of entry of pollutants. Here we have an urbanized area, and the implementers are well recognized, and yet statewide and within your four counties, there is duplication of effort in terms of these regulations. When you apply new regulations, the science may have been figured out, the overall purpose of the regulation may have been figured out, but when it comes to the implementers, they may not simply have what is required, and yet these are the people that you have to listen to because these are the people who actually know what the beneficial use is, for example, of the creek is. And when I heard the earlier testimony, I was asking myself, yes, what is the beneficial use of Salsipuedes Creek? And from the testimony of a previous citizen, I understand that if I see a child, if I'm washing in the creek myself, which is a beneficial use, I may see a child with a loaded diaper enter that creek, at which point I would Salsipuedes. I'll get out if I can. The issue I really want to bring up is that zero levels, although admirable as a goal, always present problems when they, particularly, for example, in issues of eradication and public health. You don't achieve zero. And you have to be very careful, and the homeless encampments are one example of unregulated and unregulatable. So seeking a goal and placing it as a regulation can essentially empty the coffers of the municipality that you're interacting with. You have to allow them some flexibility in that respect. So I hope you continue to use the best testimony of the best planners, but understand that you have to inform both the public and these municipalities of what's available out there. Otherwise, they're going to have to be doing this all over again. You're going to be hearing pretty much similar testimony over and over again. It has to be handled The implementation has to be handled with checklists, with guidances, with a higher level of detail, I think, than what is currently available. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Yes. Dr. Hunter, is it for Mr. Perlman?
Yeah, it's in response to the issue of zero.
Okay.
Tolerance, and which a number of folks have set up. And I just wanted to ask Chris Rose. We heard you describe that source of the zero standard with regard to Reed Sato's efforts and the direction that they're headed at State Board, which is a process underway in which we anticipate at some point will provide us with some standards in a statewide basis. Are we able to give him feedback, and are we interacting, and where are we in that process in terms of the specific comments we're hearing today, and which I imagine we're going to continue to hear, relative to the kinds of the questions that that are being proposed in terms of the reasonableness of achieving zero standard? And I do understand the public health issue, and I do understand that we're striving to recognize these beneficial uses. But again, the challenge then is as this standard goes forward to implementation and we start to hear back, you know, specifically case by case, because clearly the sources of these things are different in different locales, but homelessness being one and a range of other ways in which human fecal matter may turn up in the streams. But do we have an opportunity? Are we engaged with Mr. Sato's process, and where are they in that process?
Chris, maybe I can answer that first, and then you can add. It's not Mr. Sato. It's the within the Office of Chief Counsel and the State Board are people that review the TMDLs and the Basin Plan amendments from the regional boards, and they are the ones who said that they wouldn't accept a TMDL or Basin Plan amendment dealing with human fecal coliform that sets it at above zero. So the goal is to achieve no discharge of human fecal coliform into water bodies. So that's the source of that. And the State Board ultimately has to approve the TMDLs and basin plans. So the regional board staff is trying to be responsive to that. So when it goes to the State Board, it's approvable. The separate issue is how to implement it and enforce it. And of course, there's not an expectation that tomorrow it'll all be perfect. I mean, it's a process of implementation. And the plan is to have many years to achieve that goal, and it may never be perfectly achieved, but the point is to have a prohibition that is enforceable that can lead to achieving that.
Right. So the question I have, then, I appreciate that, because I did understand that the state standard is going, you know, is in process, so there's some dimension of it that we can anticipate and we can work towards now. Are we able to give feedback as we implement our own TMDL standards? Are we able to give feedback to that state process and to the folks that are working on that so that the case-by-case challenges that we're hearing about, the specific kinds of challenges that we're hearing from our stakeholders, are we providing that feedback to the state and their efforts?
Go ahead. Okay, I'm going to make sure I understand your question. I can't tell you that we're actively passing on stakeholder feedback such as we heard today about reasonableness of a zero allocation to State Board. We haven't specifically done that. However, we are involved with and tracking State Board's efforts to change the standards. And we have communicated to stakeholders who have expressed issues with that and want to track that and how to get on State Board's interested parties list and where they can go on the web and who to contact in order to engage themselves in that process as well. This is not necessarily directly an answer to your question, but I also wanted to add that staff didn't simply add this to the TMDLs just because they were directed by State Board to do so. Although, of course, if we need to do that to get these approved, we will. But because staff agrees that and is recommending that having a zero allocation for human waste provides a backstop to the reality of the health risk involved if we just simply go with our fecal indicator bacteria standard in the base plan.
And I wanted to add to that, based on my own experience and knowledge about indicator bacteria and human viruses, this is a worthwhile target, the zero. And the reason is, even in the absence of the presence of fecal coliform bacteria, you can still have human viruses present. So a zero reading for fecal coliform bacteria does not guarantee that there still isn't a health threat or risk there. There's a good correlation. If you can get rid of the fecal coliform bacteria, you're at least driving down the health risk. But it's not perfect, but it's the best tool we have. So, and it does make sense to strive for that.
Well, I appreciate the distinction between our process and state process. And but I'm also glad to hear that there are other options for stakeholders who need to communicate with the state board in their process so that these challenges are recognized, and hopefully there are means, resources, technical assistance, and other supporting measures that the state is going to fold into its process. I mean, that's the point, is that ultimately EPA and State Water Board have a great deal to bring to bear to these problems, not just the enforcement, but I'm talking about the technical and financial resources to deal with these issues. Homelessness is certainly not going to decrease, not in these economic times, and I think all of these small communities are simply going to see these problems growing. You could throw up your hands and say there's no way to deal with it, or we could collectively start to think about it at the community level and at the regional and state level, because solutions are needed. So I'd like to see these comments provided to the state so that they are cognizant that we desperately need solutions. So that would be my comment on those of you that are struggling with the zero standard.
Mr. Briggs.
Excuse me for a second, John, but I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but even though we have that ruling from, and by the way, they refer to the chief counsel, Michael Laufer, as opposed to Reed's, the Office of Enforcement. But anyway, when we provide these, the action that the board has already taken on the previous item and hopefully on this item, when we forward those to the state board, we provide the entire record. And so it's an opportunity for, it's not like the state board made their decision and that's it last time. There is an opportunity to provide this additional comment as part of the information that goes with this item to the state board.
That's excellent. And as you did in your presentation to us today, in whatever memo goes along with the record, you know, to organize thematically what the main concerns are raised by stakeholders is very helpful, because it puts it into kind of the generic categories, and the source of those comments, you know, coming from the municipalities and the counties as well as from landowners, that also helps to characterize the level of concern and how those concerns represent different community interests.
Okay, Mr. Recker, you're chomping at the bit.
Excuse me, I did want to request another maybe 30 seconds. I sat down before I
go ahead.
Presented some suggested wording changes to the supplemental sheet. And staff did try to address our concerns, but there may be a better way to do it. This would be regarding number 4 on the supplemental sheet regarding on-site systems. And I would suggest inserting some language right in the beginning that ties back to our wastewater management plan and say that within 3 years of approval of these TMDLs by the Office of Administrative Law, the executive officer will, and here's the insert, either, number 1, determine that the County of Santa Cruz is making adequate progress towards
implementing the Santa Cruz County on-site wastewater management plan as it pertains to controlling the waste loads from on-site systems in Corralitos and Salsiquitous Creeks, or two, notify owners, and then it would go on to the what's remaining there. And then I would also, there's a couple of places in the last, or item number four there, where it refers to private laterals, and I think that it was meant to refer to on-site systems.
The very last line of four, two,
actually,
three.
Two places there. It's four lines up also.
And Chris and Kim, that's not indicated as something that's proposed for change. So does that mean that it's reflecting an error in the
Two things, actually, Mr. Briggs. It's supplemental to the supplemental. So Mr. Ricker is asking that we insert the language that he just said. And as well, Mr. Ricker pointed out that there's a typo in bullet number four as he struck out where it says private laterals. I don't know if you have it on your screen. Where it says in number four, the last sentence says private lateral, and indeed it should say on-site wastewater system in both those places.
Oh, so that's what you mean by a supplement to the supplement?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Correcting the supplement, okay.
Exactly. And then where Mr. Ricker inserted the language where he said, and this is where I think perhaps it could be clarified for the County of Santa Cruz, he, I'm not sure if it's showing up as green, but yes. I believe it starts where the word either will, either one, determine that the County of Santa Cruz is making adequate progress towards implementing the Santa Cruz County on-site wastewater management plan as it pertains to waste loads from on-site systems in Corralitos and South Sepulveda's Creek. The only modification that we would like to make is that their current plan does not include Corralitos watershed, but it's my understanding that at some point in time they intend to. So what we want to do is we want to accommodate Mr. Ricker, because the intent of the language was to say, yes, the management plan does indeed or could indeed demonstrate compliance. So we want to insert the word approved and approved management plan. So basically what we'd like to do then is just have a slight modification to Mr. Ricker's recommendation, and where it's green, say either, one, determine that the County of Santa Cruz is making adequate progress towards implementing the Santa Cruz County on-site wastewater management plan as it pertains to controlling the waste loads from on-site systems in Corralitos and Salsapuedas Creek, or two.
They approve them.
Right. And then so that's what he has in there. And then what we'd like to do then is insert just before the word Santa Cruz County on-site wastewater management plan, just before that, insert an approved Santa Cruz County on-site wastewater management plan. So once that Corralitos is included, this board would be approving that, hopefully. So I can read the whole thing with the corrections if you want.
That's okay.
Okay.
Would that be okay with you, Mr. Ricker?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I don't know if you would want to delete the suggestion under item one there.
Right.
That's really not the place for it.
Right.
So.
Got it.
Or the other one that I put in, I think number three. That was two.
Right.
Okay. Any other board questions or comments?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Chairman.
Yes, Mr.
I would appreciate if staff would comment on Mr. Richter's earlier comment regarding or recommendation, I guess, that we should be using existing tools. And I'm concerned that maybe we are duplicating efforts here, which adds to confusion. Could you comment on it?
Sure. Sure. It does say, I'm going to read the, or at least you could open your resolution to, or it's, okay, sorry, it's in the PAHRO resolution. That's where the prohibition is written. And so this is how it's written. It says, this is the human fecal material discharge prohibition. Discharges containing fecal material from humans to the waters of the state in the areas listed below are prohibited. Exceptions to this prohibition include discharges in accordance with waste discharge requirements or other provisions of the California Water Code, Division 7, as amended. So that includes, the exceptions would include then, for instance, the sanitary sewer system, which is under a waste discharge requirement, or the, for instance, what John Ricker was just talking about, if we can use the wastewater management plan to address on-site wastewater systems rather than the waste, rather than this prohibition, it allows us to use whatever's already existing that prohibits human waste rather than the prohibition. And as Lisa said, it's a backstop to have more impetus to reducing loading from this source.
I can clarify that a little more. In other words, there's a prohibition, but there's an exception to the prohibition if you're in compliance with your NPDES permit, your waste discharge requirements, or in this case would be the septic tank waiver that would allow the use of those of the management plan. So in fact, it is doing what Mr. Ricker wants it to be doing.
So what we're saying is we really do need both regulations.
Exactly.
We're not duplicating.
Yes. And in fact, and the TMDL process requires that you have the goal, which is the prohibition, and you have an implementation plan explaining how you're going to implement that, which can be through the permitting process, the waiver process, a prohibition, the various tools that you normally have to regulate is how you would use to implement the ultimate target here, which is the prohibition.
Just to further clarify a little bit, our intent was to avoid duplication by establishing exceptions where we could rely on existing regulation, reporting, compliance determinations, enforcement if necessary, through permits or other established requirements that we already have in place from some of the responsible parties who may be discharging, and then to give us the authority and the mechanism to establish those where they aren't already existing for other sources.
So this covers folks who aren't covered under the normal regulatory scheme.
Right.
Yes.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. Any other board questions or comments? All right. Briggs, we're ready for a...
I just need to ask one thing. Is there any other questions or comments that were raised that are not covered already in the record that you need to respond to?
No, Ms. McChesney, I believe we covered them all.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So we have a recommendation with the changes that are shown in your supplemental sheet, and as have been described and shown on our screens here by Mr. Rose. And that's it, right?
Yes, Mr. Briggs, that is correct.
And also the changes suggested by Mr. Ricker.
Well, that's what Chris described.
Yes. So we have the supplemental and then the changes that I verbally read to that supplemental.
Okay. All right.
So I will move.
Okay.
I will move that the board adopt resolution 2090009 as revised and with changes incorporated, noted by staff.
Okay.
Second.
We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'd also like to acknowledge that both the county and the city for work that they've done in helping us as well, help them.
Good. All right.
Thanks for being here.
Did we